but I don't know the fourth grade school, I don't know.
I never met him.
He's a great admirer of yours, he's...
Maybe I did meet him, is what he looked like, sure.
Yeah, bald.
That's it, I'm sure.
Oh, I don't know. He was such an intelligent guy, and you know, he's the only hardliner on the nuclear thing, he said.
Well, he wrote that Marvel speech about that asshole from Harvard and whatever.
Yeah.
He seems to have disappeared from sight, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sure is.
Yeah. Now, before Greg is fully on our side, he said, this is a tremendous victory you people have achieved.
He said it.
He said, it is certain that the North Vietnamese will withdraw most of their army into the North. They need it to rebuild it. They need it to reestablish control. They can't take it anymore. And he told me, he then went to Saigon. He said, that's your biggest problem. That's what's going to blow. And he said he didn't think Bunker could handle it. He needed a tougher guy there.
It won't blow.
But
I think Saigon won't blow because we're going to put it right to him.
I think on next Wednesday we should deliver a letter to Van Van Dons.
There's any party around with you. We have, he should not have made that statement today.
Inexcusable.
Because he should have said, I have confidence in the president. Now, goddamn, he could attack North Vietnam, but he's got a good attacking me.
That's right.
And I don't know that Bunker made us, maybe he's sending it, so...
Well, what Bunker does is, when we send him a cable, he puts it into a memo and hands it to,
to
Q, but that just makes him a messenger boy. And, but Borger...
Mark Gray said it's a good agreement.
He said it's unbelievable. He said the Newsweek editorial staff is wiped out. He said they don't know what to say. And he's a high-type person.
It's definitely a very capable.
But
there's a fantastically good article in the News Story today by a man I've never heard of. From the Philadelphia Pole. Did you happen to see him on Fourth Day? Very, very positive. I want you to be sure to see it, Ben. He's probably a man you've never met. Maybe some bright young guy that we may want to get with us.
Yeah.
And I also noticed, however, of Buchanan sent me in your old friend Hamilton H. Armstrong's epilogue. My God.
That is great, Mr. President.
Did you read it?
Yeah,
I marked it for you. I said, after the election, I want you to write a memo on it. Well, I thought, I just got puked.
Well, I had already written a memo to you when he retired.
Yeah.
Not recommending him for the candidate reason. And I'm not holding back. I thought it was a disgrace.
Why did you do it?
Because he's part of that liberal establishment.
He's not going to get that one for
you. No.
Is that right, Mom?
I can't. Well,
thank you.
Dr. Larson. Well, Carl, with regard to how is he, how's he feel physically, how's his spirit?
It's great. He is,
he's on a table.
Yes, he's the balancing force. You have to know that he was a university professor like yourself. And this is his forte, sociology, economics, Marxism. That's his background. And he has the conviction we cannot lose. We can lose it, but we cannot lose it. We play it right. One of the great things that they must avoid, of course, is the provocation of the Big Brother and Kremlin. Not taking that excuse to jump in when we get necessary for them to do so. This is a very important thing. Even the people in government, I'm not talking the Central Committee, but the people in government, they are often scapegoats of something in the center, something permitted. I'm not even sure that my trip, because of the
embarrassment,
that they may get some request from the government to move the way for this and fire.
They won't do it.
They
look at well, we avoided it, of course. The only thing we did a little gesture. Phil went by, Phil Rogers went by the day of, it was the beast day.
Yes,
the holy day, and he stood outside. But no, we did for the reasons, as you know, that we checked and found from our internal sources that it would be embarrassing to them.
That was a no, but
then I just wanted to be sure that Henry and not Henry, if I had talked about it, and there, I said, there's nothing I want any more of them to go. But you know, after we got out of the car and put in that reed, that's the only time this
put on the spot. He had been sort of dealing with the other town to promote certain things, to control the religious activity. He talked to the cardinal. The cardinal says, "No, your request is entirely unreasonable. We cannot agree. You can talk now, you can talk 10 years from now, you can talk 100 years from now, the answer will have to be no." This fellow got really excited. And he reached him, because he was on the spot himself, he had the producer on to him. He reached him with kind of a very hell of a set. Cardinal says, "Mickey," he says, "you need to don't be hiding. So let's stop, I'll get you a bicycle." The first is this. When a man reaches a point in his job where he has to take a tranquilizer, he's lost. And I heard a nice little story. It shows the kind of almost the recklessness of the pole. It's a matter of it shows the spirit they had, you know, the eyes of the thing.
Cleveland, I was representing Bishop there.
we are playing a game of opening up the controls quite a bit for the game. In the trade deal and others, we haven't done much for the match, but we've done quite a bit actually, but we've done more than has been done. And our relationships are cordial, but arm's length too, in a sense. The question that is raised, there are, of course, the Polish groups in this country who understand, and I understand very, very much. It's true of the Polish groups, and it's true of the Ukrainians, and it's true of Russians and everybody else. They have nothing to do with these assassins and tyrannical people. On the other hand, the problem that I see with it, and I probably know personally this country this far, because I've seen the communists, what it does to people, the horror, great society, most despising. How it is that I see the future, and I see those kids over there. I see the Russian kids, I see the Polish kids, as I'm talking about now for a moment. And I feel that if the choices just have nothing to do with them, and no communication, that's unacceptable. I think there are great risks in having something to do with the government. And heading the risk of the government. But I don't believe if for example, what we call liberation were a positive, were a possible alternative, if I look at it differently. But with the Russians sitting there, with the Russian divisions there, it can't happen. That's the problem. In other words, this is going to happen. You can't realistically say the Polish people, we just keep raising out their government, and maybe at the end they'll overthrow these despots. It may happen in the end, but it is going to happen in 25 years. Now, that's the rationale for what we're doing at the present time. What is your feeling after being there? Are we doing the right thing? Should we pull back a bit, or what have you?
And first, the people that you've been talking to and working with, I mean, that's the first thing. And there are some people who take this attitude, say, I'm going to try and do anything else. But can you secure a world peace by excluding a major section of the people of the world? There's no way you can do this. Because they're on the outside, and it's going to be always a source of irritation. With Poland, the a high percentage, the maximum percentage of their trade is with the East. And this is the element of control. The more they can swing westward, the more independent even the Communist Party in Poland will be from the Communist Committee in Russia. They're not less communist, but you have to realize that
they're different.
They're a different type, and yet, at least to this extent, they haven't blindly forced the co-ops of the farms. I think more than 3/4 of the land is operated privately owned and operated. And they're not paying the disasters and crops that Ukraine and death bats and bread bats is having, simply because there is this privately owned thing. And there's no way a farmer can punch a time clock. If it's raining, you can't work. If the sun is shining, you work from any number of hours. So they have been making some kind of concessions, but any time they go too far, it's the Russian companies that pull them in back. So I don't think it's a one-way street either here. I think there should be, we have a deficit trade balance.
Sure.
Now, is it possible to open up some market of some kind for us? Make it a mutual, and I don't.
Exactly.
I'm not talking about a giveaway program. I'm talking about
here. Hold on. It's a mutual
advantage both of the United States and the Empire. But I'd be very much in favor of putting them in a position, at least of some measure of independence of the Kremlin finance. I've seen another important thing that we mentioned after the wars is all of the case of people here. Because the communist government has had a number of changes in the town government. The people are the same. And so, you bring up the people, you have to take the risk of the government. The but it implies the risk all the way.
Well, I think that's exactly what we're doing. It's a very disorganization of the trade deals. It's not going away at all. And the Polish are taking care of it. It's from the group. They desperately want the title of us. They desperately want trade with us. They desperately want exchange with us. They want to live with us. They are communists. But they're a lot. I think they're communists, but in terms of their relations, they fear the Russians. They don't fear us. They don't fear us. And on a personal basis, I think my relations with Garrick and the Canada Good Agreement in France are much better than Russians. You agree with that? Exactly. We got able to they deal with their time. I think we've talked about it quite candidly.
No, we had the impression that they were deliberately using the communists. The Polish government was trying to get as much contact with us in order to have a counterweight to the Russians. Of course, they're conscious of the fact of the geographic realities of both the situations.
If they can only keep the flow of information, in time to talk successfully and sense, then you have to realize that this isn't a one size, one way street. I didn't mention that you have made a European professor, but this is what I'm talking about. They have to have access to information. They've got to get away from the notion that they can put these people in the vacuum and feed them one line.
Right.
They have to have confidence in the people that they can have the adjustment of. At Auschwitz, I gave a talk. I didn't know what the reaction would be. It was a purely religious talk. But I said, there's no way that you can eliminate or separate the twin commandment of love, love God and love neighbor. And here you have a perfect example of how some people had eliminated the love of God and consequently the second one they repelled. And this was transcended any lines of who or what. The wall of execution, the death box, they didn't know who was a Catholic priest, Jew, or Gypsy, or Hungarian, or anything else. Like the government has published in the book. How do you think the document beyond that? Kind of thing that talks about the votes and users. And the point that I try to make is as a Christian, you only have one enemy. Then you are wise for every man, Samaritans as well as Israelites. And you must also love those who Jesus. then you guys can move forward fire. Unbelievable as it is, it was one of the tests running in the specific scripture. And we get that medical device that fall under the table. Part of the table suffering. All is on top. I expected him alive, but he is promoted since that time he's still alive. The precious living son. It was a story. So I had to stop there and let him know what to do.
So where they held the wall, where they shot it all down.
Well, the, no, this was no, that was, this was the.
I was in Marshall
to get it. And that is also Tom Larry Martin.
But well, the place that I was forget, not this time, my previous trip to Poland, there is a wall in Warsaw where it's evidently, in that case, the Polish government wanted to see where there was a slaughter of Jews. They find them all up and shot. They find the Germans too.
Well, they did. I actually had, in this book I read where Peter Kroll, the area of Nile, they don't know whether. And another game that this wasn't one. And for 3 years they held an imported small attic fed with the Jews. First in the big
3 years.
For 3 years. And the penalty for this was death. And they had the big signs all over the place, you know. Eating, sheltering, feeding, clothing, even selling food to the Jews. Then Zeloshchowak, shot apart, shot to pieces, and that was but the their process of rebuilding something is there. I talked to the director of a seminar, an interesting man about young 40s, and he had some problems also. He said, you know, we did have some problems, but God help us, we didn't have them, we would be in trouble. So they think this is a part of life. And they look at kindness interesting enough that they do it. I mean, thank God that with kindness they unify us and make us strong and keep us solid. This is a massive demonstration. The Auschwitz turnout was estimated variously, but to an official leak, the police had counted over 400,000 points for each. Or I might modify the kind of gauge of the there is no supposed to happen with
people. Is that a couple of recruiting people for the Greece but not for seminaries?
Their trouble is getting permission to expand the seminaries to accommodate them. They have to turn them away. This is...
That's extraordinary.
Well, there is the depth of faith in it. People with all the hardships that they have, and you walk the streets here and you see people kind of bruised and worried. There.
Yeah.
Not there. It's a part of life. Part of. It was very, very satisfying type of an experience. Of course, it was all prearranged in two terminals. We were letting it all the way out. Every place is stuck in the woods. So I went all that room. How they used to go to this place, they always tell. But you'd always go to the church for the people and the reception. People would stand like this, you know, just tell.
Well,
I understand that you were on vacation or something. Did you think of it?
I thought it would be interesting to go on this subject, which we shouldn't, but to have me take a little time to examine us in on Vietnam.
I would like that.
I think you should know.
That I issued a statement as the president of the conference asking for prayers.
Substance of the agreement, which there's 40,000 Vietnam graduates in the countryside. Would then negotiate with the Viet Cong and set up a coalition government which would replace it.
That was their offer.
That was in July 1912. Now we went through endless variations of this. They kept weakening the offer by specifying different compositions for the coalition government. And the president always maintained two principles. One, our plan was President's May speech, which is to say ceasefire, release of prisoners and withdrawal. And we would not impose any political future on the Vietnamese. I won't bore you with all the maneuvering that went on, because essentially that our strategy under the president's instruction was always, because we always quite frankly had to worry that they would go public. And that the government would then run through the country saying he had the key defeat in his hand. So we always made counter proposals, which refused the issue but didn't give them what they wanted. Well, this process went on through September, and suddenly it was too late. They in fact accepted the president's May 8th proposal. That is to say, government can stay in office. Unrestricted economic aid, military aid in the form of replacements for existing equipment is also unrestricted. Existing equipment, you have to remember, is for an army 1.1 million.
Biggest army in Asia, except for the Chinese.
And in effect, that means the pipeline is open.
Could I just throw in something that is not, we haven't said for the no, we'll respect our relationship with the Russians and the Chinese as such that we can restrain them in terms of how the North has accepted. But that's part of the game we can't talk about, because the Russians have to deny it, the Chinese have denied it. But Henry's had a talk with the Chinese, well, he was in a private channel. And we had to bring him on directly here.
But right, we have a written truth.
We read the letter to him. So we've got the North cool, we've got the South, right, where
they have prisoners, they have political prisoners, they have to be released. On the political system, they have proposed a coalition government which would replace the existing one. We have always proposed an electoral commission which all parties are representing. Now, what we've done is we've called that electoral commission the National Council of Reconciliation, which is appointed equally by both sides. It organizes and supervises elections, which, however, have first to be agreed to by Chu, and it operates on the principle of unanimity, so that Chu has a complete veto first over the elections that may be held, and second, over the composition, over the actions of that council. So it's an absolutely face-saving maneuver, which has no power, and the only people who call it coalition government now are Liberal Democrats, who are so committed, not even the North Vietnamese. The North Vietnamese Prime Minister gave an interview to Anna de Borgrave of Newsweek and said, all we have done in the political field is uncosmetic. And this is an electoral commission, it isn't anything else. Now, in addition, they have free to withdraw from Laos and Cambodia, and agree to a ceasefire also in Laos and Cambodia. So, terms are actually as close to surrender as they could come.
I'll give you a good example of that, totally neutral source, leading one of the cleverest neutrals in the world, sitting in this chair about 4 days ago with a smart woman, a mouse, who was a very clever phone. He has to be clever to lie, and he looked at this agreement. And so I said, well, Mr. Royal Highness, Mr. Prime Minister, I said, tell me honestly, what do you think?
because he's made another interesting comment, just, I'll tell you something about the market. He says, they are the Japanese of Asia, Southeast Asia. Says, they're the hardest workers, they have the most expensive services, so don't give too much aid, just enough. But getting back to this, where you will hear the coalition government thing, you will hear it in other respects, in the South, that is, the BC will stay in the territory that they occupy. On the other hand, they occupy nothing of very great significance at the moment. And I think Jews are around, I don't know, I nobody deserves 98% of the population under the government control. And we are having troubles with Jews for these reasons. One, you must worry. That's right. No settlement, no matter how good the terms, is as good for them as 200 American B-52s and 600 Air Force.
And 25,000 residual force.
And you see, cutting the umbilical cord for him, we're talking quite candidly, is terribly difficult. Because then he's got to do it by himself. And here he is with a million man army, with an air force as good as or superior to the North, at least in numbers it's superior, with a Navy and an North National Navy to speak of. And the support of the United States of America economically and militarily in amounts that will be very, very significant.
So, Vietnamese Air Force, right? Not just large in numbers.
It's the quality of the North. They currently have more jets. The South Vietnamese can decimate them.
Before we leave, they won't have more jets.
The other problem, the other thing, though, is that.
But this
is the problem. The problem that he has is
over his willing to do it.
We have general jets. Nevertheless, the situation is that candidacy, as Abrams points out, Abrams is a hardliner. He's fought this battle. He says it has to be done. It's a good sign. He said, the point is, he says, they can't, they reason they don't want to, they don't want us to leave. They're still. But he says, we cannot stay forever. And we cannot stay much longer. And Abrams went through this dialogue. He said, well, in Europe, we even there have problems. But, and of course, we know the Korean problems. But he said, here, we are different people. And it's going to be increasingly difficult for us to stay. Clearly, the problem which you can get out of Congress. He said, now, we have had Vietnamization. And the South Vietnamese should be strong enough now to paddle their own canoe. They've got to do it. He says, you've made the right kind of a deal. So that's really what you get down to. It isn't like the other way you could look at it, of course, which we have thought about. We expect to win the election. After the election, we just continue the war for a couple more years. Well, it continues to aggravate the Americans. Jew would continue to kill South Vietnamese. Jew and the South Vietnamese will continue to kill the PCs and the North Vietnamese. But it would go on and on. It would continue to be an error in our relations with Russia and our relations with China. And in the end, would the deal be much better? Maybe, in this respect, maybe two would then feel that he had so decimated the enemy that they were strong. But the North Vietnamese have shown amazing resiliency in coming back. On the other side of this coin is this. You know, I often use that quote that a contract is only as good as the will of the parties to keep it. You as a candidate, while you're agreeing. The real key to this situation is North Vietnam's intent. We're getting that over here, but if suppose they withdraw support, suppose that we make this kind of a deal, suppose they sign this piece of paper. If they decide within a couple of 3 months they're going to start looking back at the Cambodian Laos and step up their infiltration in the south, they'll bust it. But on the other hand, if they decide that they need a pause in the tradition of Mao Zedong, in other words, two steps forward, one step back, which we think now is the case, and all the evidence points that they're hurting badly. The mining hurts, the bombing hurts, they've been attrited in the south, they're bled white, they need a pause, and they also need the American economic assistance. And so we will have an enormous lever there, a lever that we also have to bear in mind, again, and this is the part we cannot talk about, the Chinese and Russians. Neither of which, for reasons of their own, want this to be resolved. The Chinese and the Russians can't ever get caught saying it, but they would like us out of Vietnam, not because they want to take it over, It's costing them a lot, it's much costing us.
A lot of other factors too, for example, knowing that if this agreement goes through, he will be in a political contest. He's trying to posture himself as trying to be an American stooge.
Right.
So he's not going to go through a few weeks of really finding that sort of.
You cannot go too far.
Right, but I mean, when you read speeches he's made, what he's trying to make himself now is a Vietnamese nationalist rather than an American type. So it's a complicated bit of maneuvering. Both North and South are yelling at each other more than they're yelling at each other at us right now. We're almost in the position of mediator between them, essentially. I would say the terms are better than any of us thought possible. And what it takes now is wisdom and statesmanship on everybody's side, not to let the last spasms of a war kick over the agreement. Now the president, actually if the war goes on 2 more years, the situation in the South won't really change much, because it's now in the population that is not now under governmental control.
It's in the hills.
That's right. It's in such remote areas that it's almost impossible to get it back. The North Vietnamese always have the option of going to protracted war. Then we can say we can bomb them until they yield, but they can always turn off the bombing by offering us our prisoners. So we have at the limit of what we can get in terms of agreements. And now the problem is how to bring it to a conclusion. I told you when I saw him on the instructions of the president, he said, we're facing a very hard situation. I said, Hanoi has lost the war, and actually have won. You won the war, and you sometimes talk as if you had lost. And so it's partly a psychological problem,
yeah,
to get the South kind of.
Basically, what gets down to him, what irritates him, I see him, is this. It's not only just to be shown, but to prove his man that he's independent, that not American stooge. He does not want us to leave. And he isn't self-confident. Now, actually, he can win. He will win.
Well, and he hasn't ever, he knows he can conduct a war. He's never had a really political contest. But here he is. He controls 93% of the population, the army of American, the police force that's larger than the BC. He's got more BC in prison than out in the countryside working against it. Now, under all of these conditions, now, if you were a BC cadre in the South right now, you saw the outcome of a war in which the only thing you get are the hands you've held for 15 years. Your colleagues stay in South Vietnamese prisons. And you don't share in any respect the government in Saigon. I would think that the BC are infinitely more demoralized.
No respect, except to the extent that they would seize the national legislature in the next election.
Well, assuming you agree to
my hopes, but I mean, that's the only possibility. You see, the free of the elections that would be held would only allow them to go. So what we really say is here, we get our prisoners back. Of course, you can't fight a war to get your prisoners back. That is the consideration now. We have seized fire throughout Indochina, Laos and Cambodia as well, which we have. Beyond that, we have resisted the imposition of a coalition government. The future will be determined by the people of South Vietnam in an election. We have always said that the election machinery should be set up in a group in which the communists participate with the others, in which you've got to set it up. It's sort of a supervisory business. But that's so fuzzed up, and I would think, too, my guess is he's probably never going to have an election. But the point that we have to make is that we have to look at our option. The option then, and we can do this, the option then is to just say, well, you won't accept it. And therefore, we break off the negotiations. The American people, in my opinion, I think I know where we had to put them, carry them along for over 4 years, you know, despite the 90% opposition of the media, many of the, shall we say, all of the most opinion makers and so forth. But if you think in terms of fighting only to keep in power, you see, the man, they won't do it. They won't do it. That's an analogy. If you have another judgment, I'd be interested, because we try to lay it out as that we're
Well, I would spend the only observation things in. Let anybody call what they want, as long as you've got the substance and you have it pinned down. If they want to call it a victory, I think for the, to effect what you're trying to effect, let them have that too. As far as Hugh is concerned, he has to, I suppose, be assured, look, we understand what you're trying to do. That's fine, we let you go along. Up to a point. And at that point, if you want to lose everything, leave us no alternative for that. But except to pull out the side, but he wants to commit suicide. Sure, he wants suicide.
Because we could see, we could pull out that was for our prisoners. We could make that deal tomorrow.
We could do that tomorrow, except it would not only destroy Vietnam.
We don't want to do that.
Laos and Cambodia. This is not anything about this present arrangement to protect Laos and Cambodia.
He has to, I suppose, receive some assurance that we understand what he's trying to do. Not to play this game too far. It's not going to work.
Well, he's also got to understand, too, that I don't suppose he can't understand that 4 years running against the tide of what appeared to be the intelligent opinion in this country. Thank God it wasn't the majority opinion, or we wouldn't be here right now, perhaps. Running against that tide, we have tried to bring the war to an honorable conclusion. It would have been so easy to bug out our leader. Now we've done it. We feel that saving these people, giving them the right to keep their own, return their own future, enormous achievement.
It is an achievement in itself, but it's also an achievement in terms of attempts, similar attempts that have been tried in Iran. In other words, that they will not be encouraged, I say the
purpose, it discourages aggression all over the world.
The best way to tolerate evil is the best way to encourage evil is to tolerate it. But they have the idea that they can worry you down, but that's just why they become
a government. I would say that this is one of the things about this settlement. It's been a lesson to the Russians. The fact that we mined and bombed them into Moscow brought us more respect. It's a lesson to the Chinese. They were not going to keep moving around. It helps us in the Middle East. Let me tell you, one person who really understands this is Mrs. Meyer, because she's strong and tough. And she said, now look, she understands that there are many people that are total pessimists and so forth. But she said, look, she said, we well understand that if they get away with it there, they're going to give us a push. And that's quite true. You never let them contend. That doesn't mean the day of total victory, I suppose, because of the nuclear possibilities. And our own strengths, and our own civilized approach to them is perhaps gone. I mean, that's one way to look at it. They say, bomb them into the Stone Age and make them surrender. We could do that. But what would it do to us? Couldn't do it, right?
I don't even think we could do it without using nuclear.
Well, that's what I mean. That's what people response would suggest. But my point is, we can't do that. Also, the risks of that escalating would be enormous.
Is North Vietnam willing to settle to accept these terms if they want to sign the
treaty? Oh, yeah. I'll manage to drop the government and be, quite frankly, it's like, what we have to do is go back to the North Vietnamese and get some modification statement of verses, which we can then make to Saigon. And Saigon can claim to get some changes.
But the substance of the agreement, North Vietnam has agreed to, and we have agreed to, the substance. But on the other hand, pointing out that we want to nail down certain things and get away from
first. One of the tragedies of the present situation is that the marginal changes that we are going to get in this renegotiation may not be good as the lack of confidence that is developing in Hanoi and their lack of perhaps decreased willingness to observe the agreement and that you put us at too well.
Well,
I think we're going to find out.
We're going to wrap it up. We've got to go right after.
You have to be told it's dangerous in the whole thing. If that's right, then we have to just pull back and reconsider what we want to do. We should not assume that we're going to continue.
But I think we have the Chinese in the act, we have the Russians in the act. We've got to get somebody over here. We've got to get somebody over here.
yet?
I'll see at some point in the future, see, but not, but that's what I'm rewarded.
The biggest thing you can do for him is after a settlement, to put yourself behind it. If you see him before a settlement, then it looks as if you had backtracked and he can blackmail you.
Well, it is a problem, but we're gonna overcome it. Well, we will, because you see, there's another thing too. We have to be very careful, over this is the election. Now, it doesn't bother us one bit, but this is the American election.
You see, all this over there.
Oh, in their minds, you see. The problem is, in the North Vietnamese, they think that we're under the gun to settle before the election. We're not under the gun because we're perfectly, the settlement's gonna make any difference. And we're failing the settlement's gonna make that difference. Few remembers what happened in 68 when the bombing home was called by Johnson over his objections in order to affect the election, he believes. And it didn't quite affect the election, made it closer than it was otherwise be. Now, too, is sort of thinking that, well, if he plays the line, playing hard to get, that we will come his way for the election. What he doesn't realize is that the options are totally different. In 1968, his bombing, that Thieu was opposing a bombing halt, which would have involved Humphrey, well, a very decent fellow, and highly responsible, at least on Vietnam, to the softer position than I did. So his option was to help me, if anything. And therefore, he blew the vote. But now, his option is this. It isn't even that McGovern's not going to win, looking at it quite realistically. But even apart from that, all that he is doing by playing the election game is jeopardizing, frankly, the all-out support that he needs from a man in this office. That's the point that we made to him. We're talking quite candidly, but that's quite true.
I think you have had it too.
And after the election, I guess we'll settle.
There's no question in my mind that this has been my tremendous effort. I said I have released a statement against the president of the conference. And at last time, I gave it up the press conference I had this morning. Can't do it. Which has been for prayers because it's critical need. There's no question that the human efforts are, and it's superb what you said, grateful for the intensive effort of the government. But at the same time, we need a little divine guidance and divine assistance. So I just want to tell you, Mr. President, we appreciate it. But we're not unlikely. You may hear a discordant voice.
Sure.
We also have freedom of the church.
Thank God.
And Mr. Cash was worried about one bishop. I said, look, if you have any sense, you put him on your payroll, because he never won an election among the bishops. He never got a motion from off the floor. All he has to do is, if you want to pass something, have him say no, and he'll be passed. If you want to run it down, have him say yes, and it'll be knocked out. But I hope that you're not too disturbed by these. I take no surveys. I have no measuring gauge. But I can assure you that the efforts that have been made are deeply appreciated. Very kind. Most people realize that this is not an easy thing to do.
Do they realize the pain that we want to realize? I say the pain and among many other things. And I may always at this point that we are not playing politics for this issue. If we were, we just dump two subtle things today. But we don't do that because we want him to come along as gracefully as possible in order to save 17 million people, you see. So we're not going to have peace at that cost.
Well, then you will have.
We want the right kind of peace.
Discordant voices, you will have the downtown spend a little people who can't contribute to anything in a positive way, so they're going to be critical. But this is a matter of serious concern, and I know that you do have. Because it may be your everyday work, but this has
the history. We've had Henry's travel enough. I mean, it's a travel world. You know, these things. I don't know where we're going to send you next, but have we had this done? We've got to get the media settlement.
Oh.
If you think this was hard, that's tough.
That's tough.
Because the hatred's there. Aren't there record in Arkansas?
I don't think he's going to make it there.
I'll not take pictures of officers, these are right, that's where you're applying, that's where you take, you can take it with you.
Who's that, am I right?
It's kind of, I'm just standing here on the other side. So, look out for that handsome young man.
Good.
I do not require another color.
Referring to Rob, what is your job?
I don't even work with the early water.
Oh, you are, so.
Yes,
I think when you're over there, there's nothing for it.
I gotta get him a golf ball.
Another one for you.
That's right.
Did you get the conference last night?
No, I didn't.
All right, we need two of these.
These
are the new conference. With the seal on it.
It's over the flag.
Whatever you have to see, you've got the old.
Oh, yeah.
These are the new seal on the flag over here.
And we think that modest courage we shall have to do.
My second thing, I'm going to do, and I just work with the.
I know they don't.
These lights steam over here.
This one, I saw the movie of Cardinal, and I saw the secretaries of Cardinal, sorry, I know they're very important people.
He questions me around all the time, though.
Do you think he's ever going to be Cardinal?
I hope he does, just to get him.
I didn't want to say that.
That's a good light thing.
Do you want to do that?
No, I don't.
Thank you, and thanks for your prayers, that means the most. Don't think we're getting soft.
Nice to see you.
We're just trying to be right.
Thank you very much.
Wish you could pick him even faster than tonight.
God, did he go to the heart of that problem?
Right.
Went to the heart of that. He is the most hard-line cardinal in the Catholic Church. He says, you know we're doing the right thing.
I know, Mr. Bittman, I know he's doing the right thing.
But two is going to be, who can we send up?
Let's look at it the other way. Supposing we had stonewalled them on October 8th. Supposing they had published the agreement on the election. Supposing the government had run it out of the country and sent the other DC the author of the fire to withdraw the prisoners. So withdraw and stop prisoners and prisoners of their own. And this administration won't take it. We would be dead. What could we have said? We wanted all the people to be out of South Africa, and we have never voted. I mean, Jew is unconscionable.
Can we, is there anything more we can do with Jew? Is there any message we can send out there or something?
Mr. Acting, my friend, we would say,
hey, Mr. God,
who could really
treasure us? Can't do it. Hey, can't do it.
No, hey, he might have to send, I don't want to go again until
you can.
Because he's going to drive me crazy.
But hey,
we might have to send Hague next week with a letter from him.
Yeah.
And just tell him to deliver the letter and come right back. So that doesn't lead to a palaver.
You know, Ben, if you've got, anybody in the service that we could send, not the little admiral, you don't think he's got the guts.
He always got the guts, he didn't have his brain. But I think they'll get it. But I think we might have to consider sending Hague next week. And then I'll go wrap it up. I don't think I should go anymore.
Yeah.
To get kicked around again.
Back with you.
Yeah. Well,
oh, no.
And I don't think Hague should go to negotiate. Hague should just go to bring a letter and come right back. It's an exhausting thing.
But the fight is going to be settled.